Welcome to the Author Factor Podcast, where we break down exactly how smart business owners and corporate leaders leverage the powerful advantage of being a published book author. I'm your host, Mike Capuzzi, and you're in the right place if you want profitable nonfiction book writing tips. Welcome back to another insightful episode of the Author Factor Podcast. My guest today is Debbie Weiss, a multi-talented entrepreneur and an author with a flair for navigating life's challenges. Debbie's penned the best-selling memoir, On Second Thought, Maybe I Can, which we're going to focus on today. Her remarkable journey of resilience and her mission to inspire others makes her a truly exceptional guest. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I know it's still less than a year since your first book. And then I just heard a little bird said that maybe you might be working on a second book, but I don't want to jump the gun too soon. Debbie, I just very briefly introduced you. Can you give our listeners a little bit more of a background of what you've done and what you're doing today?
Sure. So I have had many careers. None of them had to do with writing. Never thought that I'd be an author. I'm a CPA, practicing CPA for 10 years, and then I became an insurance agent and have my own insurance agency for the last almost 30 years. So a few years ago, I realized that based on my personal life circumstances, I had learned quite a bit and I had a lot to share with others. And it seemed like writing a book was the best way to do that.
Very interesting. So let's go a little deeper because before we focus on the book, it's interesting that you decided a book was a good medium to share your experiences. Again, the purpose of this podcast is to inspire others to do what you've done. And we haven't had too many memoir. Is that how you would classify the book?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So we haven't had too many memoir authors. So let's, before we jump into the book, tell me a little bit more about, you know, the thought process behind this. Because obviously being in business for so many years and doing so much, you know, it's a big task. But why a book, Debbie?
So on a personal level, I have been a family caregiver for over 40 years. Since I was 17, I was my father's caregiver for 30 years. And then I have my oldest son has some disabilities. And then my husband as well became permanently disabled about 5-6 years ago now. And he passed away the end of December 2022. And for the majority of my life, I was a victim of my circumstances. That's how I viewed it. You know, that this is it. My road seemed tougher than my friends and family. And I felt sorry for myself. I wasn't walking around like a Charlie Brown. I mean, I always, you know, tried to be positive, but yet, you know, just felt that I had no other options. Like my life was weighing me down. And I had kind of an aha moment when I was turned 50 and realized, you know, how much life do I have left? And do I want to get to the end of that life and still feel the same way I do now with a lot of regrets of things that I never did? And I thought, no, and nobody's going to change it except for me. So I'm 60 now and I've been on that journey for 10 years. And I felt like if I felt that way, there had to be others that felt the same. And the best way to do it was by sharing my story to hopefully inspire others to know that there's choices out there.
So I would imagine that writing a memoir, and we'll start focusing on your book, but I've got to imagine it was a therapeutic process for you. I mean, I'm sure you wrote it just as much for yourself as for the, you know, potential listener out there or a reader out there, correct?
You know, let me just touch on the fact that I did never expect to write a book, and just kind of the signs were there. And I wound up with a coach who helped first-time authors get their stories out there. So I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't believe that it was really going to be therapeutic. And when I actually made the decision to write the book, my husband was diagnosed with terminal cancer simultaneously. And so I was going to put it off. I mean, I'm going to jump in now in something I have no idea what I'm doing. And I actually, the therapist that I was seeing at the time said, I don't think you should do that. I think you need to have this for yourself to focus on something separate from what's going on with your husband and your family. And she was absolutely right. And it was therapeutic. It really did put me back into different times of my life, you know, a lot that were very difficult as well, you know, as what I was going through. But it still was time just for me, and that learning something new and finding that maybe I am creative. Maybe I can write things that I had told myself my whole entire life that I couldn't do.
So let's now focus on the book, on second thought, maybe I can. So the first question I have to ask you, because when I saw you submit that, like that's a pretty intriguing title.
Well, thank you.
So share a little bit more about that title, how you came up with it. And then, if you don't mind, share some details about the book and, you know, who should read it and what you think that targeted reader would get from it.
Sure. So the title really came from kind of the story of my life. You know, I was so afraid of everything. I had a lot of limiting beliefs. You know, if I was seen, I would be judged. I'm not good enough. You know, all the things that we all have, right, in some form or another. And so whenever anything was presented to me, it could be big or small, you know, do you want to try skiing or do you want to, you know, change your career? No. That was my first knee-jerk reaction, right? And what I've learned is, look, that's still kind of like, that's the first thing that crosses my mind. But if you wait 1 minute, 1 second, what happens? Then you say, well, wait a minute. And then you can talk yourself into it. Well, why can't I do that? I've done this, this, and this. What's the worst thing that can happen? But you need to have that second thought, right? So that's where it comes from. On second thought, let me think about this. Yeah, maybe I can give it a try. So my book is really a compilation of stories of my life divided into three parts. The first part being, you know, my childhood and how I did develop those limiting beliefs. The middle part being, you know, continuing kind of those challenges and what I viewed as challenges. And now I think, like many of us, if I looked back, I'd say, no, I don't want to live through that again. However, you know, you see how you grew during that time. And then the third part is, you know, my journey from that aha moment to where I am now. As far as, you know, it's so funny. I thought that my ideal reader was someone like me, you know, a middle-aged woman who thought, this is it, you know. So, you know, it's fine. It's almost like I feel guilty. My life is pretty darn good compared to other people. What am I have to complain about? But what I found so interesting is that it seems to resonate. You know, one of my sons is in college, and like all of his girlfriends that are girls read it. Of course, my son didn't read it, but the friends did. And they loved it too. And then I had a 70-year-old man who loved it. So, you know, I think anybody who has those limiting beliefs or those thoughts of, well, it's too late, right? It's too late to do that. No, I'm such and such an age, or I'm at this stage of my life. I should be retiring now, not learning something new. And anybody who really feels like they might not recognize that victim mindset.
I know you have a podcast. Now, I did not check it out, but is the podcast, Debbie, related to the book? Was the podcast before the book? Tell me a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
I launched the podcast about 3 months before the book was published. And so, yes, it is called the Maybe I Can podcast. And, you know, the episodes are there to to talk about the different ideas. You know, as a matter of fact, I was just planning my one for next week, which is about limiting beliefs. Today, I'm going to be talking about mindset. I have guests that share their stories, right, of transformation that are also inspiring. Yeah.
So you knew the book was, obviously you were working on the book.
Sure.
I want to dive into this a little deeper because this is very intriguing. It's something I encourage our clients when we help, in your past life, you'd be interested. We help business owners publish, you know, lead generation books, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of wrapping a podcast, whatever that may be, around the book, I think can be a very smart strategy for a lot of people. So it obviously was intentional because you knew the book was coming out. What was the thought process there, Debbie? What were you looking to do with the book and podcast? And you know, does that tie into what you're doing today?
Sure. Well, I was certainly with my podcast looking to build my audience, right? I mean, the whole social media thing, I do it. I can't stand it, to be honest with you. You know, it's hard. It's a lot. And I feel like through a podcast, people really get to know you better. Right. I mean, then just a social media post or a minute video, you know, they, when they hear you and if they relate to you, and the funny thing is, you know, that's how I found my book coach was through a podcast. I found somebody else that started me down this whole road and wound up taking some of her courses from a podcast because I felt like they were my friend when I heard them talk. Felt like I wanted to know that person, right? We've all landed on podcasts and you're like, yeah, there's something about that person I just don't care for.
Hopefully not this one.
No, of course not. Those other ones. You
as
know.
Other ones. Thank you. So it's been, what, probably seven or 8 months since the book was released, August of 2023. Tell me a little bit about what you did either then or now, because obviously now you're starting to realize, you know, writing the book, obviously it's a challenge, but marketing and promoting a book is, I think, a bigger challenge, in my opinion. Tell me more. I mean, you did the podcast. Tell me what you've been doing to get the word out about your book.
I couldn't agree more. And I was not prepared for what a challenge it was. I mean, when I look back, and I thought writing my first draft was the hardest part. That was the easiest part. And I'm trying to tell myself that now as I'm writing the second one. Don't complain. What are you doing? This is the easy part. So for me, I actually tried to do a podcast tour. I went on as many podcasts as a guest as I possibly could. And I have not even counted how many I've been on. I would guess maybe about somewhere between 40 to 50. I also got lucky enough to have a very small segment on the Kelly Clarkson show at the end of November. And that was the one thing that really boosted my sales, but it was only for a month. The bump was only that first month. And so that just goes to show there, I got on a national show. You would think fantastic, but no, it's just still a constant work in progress.
So how did that happen?
It was actually a connection through my book coach. And because I've been a family caregiver and it's a lot of my story, even though I don't write excessively at all about it in my memoir, it was November is National Family Caregiver Month. And so she had me on a small segment to talk about that.
It's interesting. We've had some clients that have gotten on TV, not national, but more like local TV. And they said the same thing about the sort of the focus of the hit for their books. They'd see a spike. And, you know, I guess it's just because we're all inundated with so much stuff. Only a day or two later, people kind of forget and they're on to the next thing. But at least you had that opportunity. It's a great opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And I was actually on two other local shows as well. And, you know, I don't even know if I really saw a spike. Maybe I sold a few books.
It's still part of the thing, though. It's, you know, rising tide lifts all ships, in my opinion.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it is good exposure. And plus, And you may have found this even with your own author journey. You never know who you may have impacted on those shows, right? You don't know who they may have bought your book. They may have read it. Most people don't reach out, but it's just part of the necessary path that book authors should be on and want to be on. So you had mentioned you are working on a second book. So I don't want to, I probably don't want to talk too much about that. You might not be ready to, but can you give us a little insight there? What's the focus?
You asked in the beginning, is it a memoir, my current book? And it was a big decision when I was writing it to decide, what is it going to be? Is it a self-help book? At the end of each chapter, am I going to offer, tips? And I decided not to. So now the second book is going to be more in that self-help genre, even though I seem to, as I'm writing, I just tell my stories with a bit more, specificity about the topic at hand in the chapter. And then I do have, activities and stuff to complete at the end. So the first book was more inspirational. And the second is, well, how did you do it? How did you get from A to B?
Are you finding it to be a different process for yourself? Is it easier for you than the memoir? Do you find it easier or?
So much harder.
Oh, really?
I do find it a lot harder because I found it much easier to write about my own personal experience. I find when I'm talking about mindset, I feel like, oh, that person said that, and because I'm, reading and in that world, I feel like I'm just spitting out and trying to figure out how to rephrase something that somebody, a million other people say. And so that's the thing. Now I have to do less story in each chapter and more of the other. And I'm finding that very, very challenging.
That is really interesting insight because I've never written a memoir. I've published 20 books, but I've never written a memoir. And I would think, I don't know if I could. I'm much better at the other kind, the nose grindstone tactical. So it's really, I'm always mesmerized. I just interviewed an Army veteran. He wrote about his time overseas in Afghanistan and how traumatic it was. And he was sharing about the storytelling that was required to share his message. And I'm just thinking I would find that hugely challenging.
That's so funny. Are you the kind of person who shares when you talk to people? You're open to sharing
No, I'm not.
Well, maybe that's why I'll tell you anything. Ask me before every interview, there are people is there anything you don't want to say? No, I'll pretty much say it all. So that's
the key insight. I mean, it's not that I'm not a social person. It's just I tend to be a person of few words and I have a family member.
Maybe you need to do it, Mike. I'm sorry. Maybe you need to do it.
Probably. Yeah. And I probably could. It's just not my natural inclination.
Yeah.
Though I do have a family member who's the complete opposite of mine. And whenever we have dinner, family dinners, it's like he consumes the entire conversation. But I digress.
Yes.
So, Debbie, what I'd love you to share, because again, you're such a relatively new author. Is there a word of either encouragement or something you'd want to warn other people who might be where you were a year or two ago about either the writing, the promotional journey, just something to say, hey, here's how I did it. I probably wouldn't do it again, maybe that way, or I would do it differently.
I think that, as I said earlier, I didn't realize how difficult the promotional part would be. But I guess my word of advice would be, don't think that you're going to set the world on fire with money, coming through your computer or through Amazon or however, that's another whole thing, how you sell it, because that's not going to happen. However, to hold my book in my hands and to know that I actually accomplished this, that I'm a published author, and I still find that difficult to say that. When people call me an author, well, I'm not really an author. Yes, I am. Why can't I step into that? That is an incredible accomplishment. So as long as you're not thinking that this is going to, shake that money tree for you, as far as book sales. Unless, you know, look, we all know there are other ways to do it. And like you said, you do it promotionally, and a lot of people do it to, you know, use it as a promotional tool. I think that's what it is. It's to help you sell your other stuff.
Are you doing that now? Is that part of the bigger picture now?
So I didn't have other stuff. I mean, that's the honest answer. The honest answer is that when I originally wrote the book, in my mind, it was to help me get paid speaking engagements, which I have done a few, but you know, that's a challenge as well. So I am in the process of creating a digital course. I do have some private coaching options available, but I've been now working on book two and starting to work on the course.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense based on, you know, what your background has been and what you've gone through. So yeah, having that coaching, consulting, courses, I think is a, you know, a nice addition to the podcast and the book. So congratulations with that. So Debbie, I think you've already shared it, but I'll ask it anyway. What has it meant to you to be a book author?
I have shared it. It's an incredible, incredible feeling of accomplishment that I don't really think I've ever felt before. Or maybe one other time, but it's in a different way. And with the memoir, it's also something that I'm leaving a legacy to my children and their children. And I think what I've also done is my boys are in their early 20s, is to show them that if you set your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. And I love that they're proud of that and they've seen firsthand, you know, what you can do.
That is awesome, Debbie. So can you share with our listeners, how can they learn more about you? Where can they see your or listen to your podcast, and where can they get the book?
So everything from my website, it's the easiest way, and it's DebbieRWeiss.com.
We'll link that in the show notes. Debbie, again, congratulations. And soon you're going to be a multi-book author. So you'll be able to proclaim that. But thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mike.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Author Factor podcast. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on Apple iTunes. Subscribe, tell a friend, and go grab the notes and extras at theauthorfactor.com. And to learn more about my unique short book publishing services, please check out bitesizebooks.com. See you next time.